Okay, good morning to everyone. I am glad to see you. Whether I see your face or your name or your number, I am glad to see you and meet with you this morning. I have been thinking about you all week. I've been preparing for you all week. I've been praying for you all week long. I've been asking the Lord to prepare the meal for us because I need the word as much as you need the word. And so we're glad to be here today on March the 7th in the year 2021. And it is a pretty sunshiny day here in Omaha, Nebraska. My name is Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class. I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we have any new people with us this morning, any visitors with us today, we welcome you. We all welcome you. We are glad that you are here. We are just a few of God's many people, and we are just one of his many Sunday school classes. But we greet you in the name of Jesus. We are glad that you are with us on today. It is our hope and prayer that you will become a regular classmate, fellow classmate of ours. We have a wonderful time studying the word of God, sitting at Jesus's feet. Today, we will be continuing in our study from the gospel according to Luke. That's where we're studying from. And our passage today, our main passage, is found in Luke chapter 11, chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. And then Luke chapter 11, verse 29 through 36. Those are the passages that we'll be focusing on today. So Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 16, as well as verses 29 through 36. I read and I teach from here in class the New King James Version of the Bible. So that's what we'll be using on today. Well, let's go to our Father in prayer. There's much to pray about. I do have a little tickle in my throat, so pray for my voice as well. And we just pray for one another. Blessed God, we come before you on this day. We thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. And we are glad, Lord. We are glad to be in your service one more time. We're glad to sit at Jesus' feet one more time. We're glad to open up our copies of the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that you saw fit, Lord, in your power and wisdom, that we would receive a copy, at least one copy, a Bible, a copy of the Word of the Lord. And we reverence your Word. We need your Word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have left us Word. And we ask you now, as author of the book, by your Spirit, to be our teacher, leading us and guiding us in truth. We pray, Lord God, that you will glorify your name and that you will feed each one of us. And you know what we all stand in need of. We lift up all of our needs, our cares, our concerns, our yesterday, our today, and our tomorrows. We lift them all up before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask you now, Spirit of the living God, to fall afresh upon each one of us. And may this time be indeed an encounter with the living Word of God. More than just a book, more than just words on paper, but this is the Word of God, the living Word of God. And Father, now we ask you, we pray for the absent part of us, those who want to be here but cannot, for whatever the reason, we lift them up in prayer. And now, Lord, be thou our teacher, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning to those who have joined us as we continue in our study from Luke chapter 11, where we have been for several weeks. And we are moving on through the book of Luke. I'm going to give a subject today. And I've recommended in the past when you're studying a passage to give your own subjects or your own themes, what the Lord is speaking in the passage. My subject for today is give us a sign. Give us a sign. And we'll see that that is what is going on in our passage. Well, let's first of all begin by reading Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 16. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 29. Well, Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 14, it reads, "And he, Jesus, was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven." So that's where my theme today comes from, give us a sign. Verse 16 again says, "Others, testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven." And now let's skip down to verse 29. And verse 29 says, "And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." And we say amen to the word of the Lord. And you notice at the end of verse 31, as well as at the end of verse 32, Jesus praising himself, Jesus the Lord, Jesus God, and he lets us know and everyone know that, yes, Solomon was great, but Jesus is greater. And he says a greater than Solomon is here, talking about himself, Jonah. And Jesus says a greater than Jonah is here. Now, our theme today, my topic, give us a sign. Well, we know that this is a reaction of the people. Jesus had cast out a demon in verse 14. And there were a lot of people around. There was a multitude of people around, and they were witnesses to Jesus casting out a demon in this man. Once the demon was out of the man was able to speak. And there were three different reactions to this miracle, to this deliverance that Jesus had done. The first reaction is in verse 14, where the people marveled. The second reaction of Jesus casting out this demon is in verse 15, where some accused Jesus of being satanic. They said that he cast out demons by Beelzebub. So they accused Jesus of being used by the devil. In verse 16 is our third reaction of the people, and it says others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. So this is the third reaction, and now we're going to see Jesus respond to their reaction of show us something else. And that is what verse 16 means. Verse 16 says others testing him, they sought from him a sign from heaven. In other words, they were saying, do something else, Jesus. We want you to do something else. Show us a sign. And so on the heels of that, we're going to see, well, how does Jesus respond and how does Jesus react to that? Well, verse 29 is his response. And in verse 29, while the crowds were thickly gathered together, and we have found out when this passage opens, it's already a multitude of people. That's in verse 14. As a matter of fact, it has an S on the word multitudes. Multitude would stand, but it says multitudes with an S. And so there are many crowds of people coming from different places. Then when we get to verse 29, it says the crowds, also with an S on it. There were crowds. And so the crowds thickly gathered together. And then we also saw, as we went on in Luke chapter 11, and we go down to chapter 12, chapter 12 says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together. And so people are coming and coming and coming, all while chapter 11 is going on, and even into chapter 12. People are still coming to hear Jesus and to see what's going on. And so the people who had said, we want a sign, show us a sign from heaven. Well, verse 29 says, while the crowds were thickly gathered together, here's Jesus's response to show us a sign. He began to say, this is an evil generation. Now, we may not expected Jesus to say that, but this is the word of the Lord, and this is what he said. His response to the crowd who said, show us a sign, is this is an evil generation. Now, we must keep in mind where we are in the progression of what's going on in the gospel according to Luke. We know that Jesus's Galilean ministry has ended. We know now that Jesus is on his way to Calvary. He's on his way to Jerusalem. We know that he is going to be rejected, despised and rejected of men. We see even now that the rejection is becoming more prominent. We also know that as Jesus progresses on, for the most part, his miracle ministry has ended. Now, there still will be miracles. Of course, there will still be miracles. But for the most part, his ministry of miracles has ended. We saw all of that in chapter 9, that transitional chapter. Now, with the shadow of the cross ahead of Jesus, and the shadow of the cross is becoming more prominent, rejection, Jesus becoming despised and rejected by men, that is going to become more prominent as well. It has started here in chapter 11. Chapter 11, beginning at verse 14, we see that it's all about spiritual warfare and spiritual conflict. And so when they say, show us a sign, Jesus in chapter 11, verse 29 says, this is an evil generation. Well, our question may be, well, why, Jesus? Why would you say that this is an evil? And keep in mind, evil is not a nice word. This is an evil generation. Well, he goes on to tell us exactly why that he would say this is an evil generation. It is because, here it is in verse 29, it seeks a sign. It seeks a sign. Then he goes on to say some more things. But he first says it's an evil generation because this generation seeks a sign. So we have to ask the question, well, why is that evil? Well, there are many reasons why Jesus could say that it's evil. First of all, Jesus himself is the sign. He is the fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies. Jesus himself is the sign. That's what Simeon said in Luke chapter 2, that he himself is the sign. Everything about Jesus was a sign that he is the Lord, that he is Christ, that he is God. He himself is a sign. The way he was born, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, all of that was a sign, and he was the fulfillment of it. Him being born in Bethlehem, that had been prophesied thousands of years ago, and so he himself was the sign. The forerunner would come, John the Baptist. John the Baptist came. John the Baptist announced Jesus Christ, introduced, as it were, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was a sign. He was the sign. But the people said, show us something else. That's what they're saying. They want to see something else. In other words, now they're saying, now keep in mind what has just happened. Well, what has just happened was what was in verse 14, where Jesus cast out a demon from a man who was mute. Now, who else could do that? Well, Jesus, he did it, and so much more. So that itself was a sign that Jesus is Christ, the Christ, that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. But that was not enough for this group. They said, show us something else. Now, in them saying, show us something else, Jesus labels them as evil. And I wrote down, this is an excuse. It is an excuse because it's obvious. Everything about Jesus, it was obvious and in the light. And that's what verse 33 says. We're going to go on down to verse 33 through 36. And verse 33 says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see, that they may see the light. And so Jesus himself, light of the world, Jesus himself, the lamp on the lampstand. Jesus himself, everything that he did and say, the light was shining. He was on the lampstand. He himself is the light. He did nothing in the dark. And so the light of Jesus's miracles and his words were shining for all to see. Jesus himself, the light. And so this is an excuse of the people when they say, show us, they sought from him a sign from heaven. Jesus said it, this is an evil generation. Well, one reason is because this is an excuse. No matter what else Jesus would have done, they still would have had an excuse. When we consider what all Jesus had already done, and now they say, show us something else, it is an excuse. But it is also rebellion. It is rebellion, a refusal to accept the truth, a refusal to believe the truth. It is unbelief. It is rebellion. It is rejection. Knowing the truth, seeing the light, you know where I'm sitting at now, the sun is shining here brightly for everyone to see. And if you don't see it, you can feel the rays of the sun, the heat of the sun, and everybody can see that sun. And that's how it is with Jesus, S-O-N, where the S-U-N is a type of the S-O-N. Everyone could see the light of Jesus. Just like that sun is shining this morning here in Omaha, bright for us to see, and all over, everyone can see the light. And so it is in Jesus's day here in that generation. Now he said, this is an evil generation. And we need to ask, well, what generation was he talking about? Well, he was talking about his contemporaries, the people that were alive when he was on this earth. And he labeled that generation as an evil generation because of their rejection of the light, of him, the light on the lampstand for all to see. Now, I'm talking about the masses. There were some who did believe. We know that. But in total, in the masses, Jesus said an evil generation. We also know that the crowd is beginning to turn on Jesus. And that is part of verse 16. They sought from him a sign from heaven. And Jesus in verse 29, this is an evil generation. So him saying they're evil generation, it is because they use this as an excuse. Jesus had given already many, many signs. It is rebellion. It is a rebellion and a rejection of the Christ. It is unbelief. We refuse to believe. We don't want to believe. We're not going to believe, even though we know the truth. And do you know people can know the truth and reject the truth and suppress the truth? And that's what's happening here. You might say that sun up in the sky isn't shining, but it's shining. Everybody knows it's shining. But this evil generation says, no, it's not shining. And that's the warning of verse 34. Now, verse 33, no one, when he has lit a lamp, and Jesus was that lit lamp. He was the lit lamp for the world to see. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand. So Jesus was manifested. God manifested in the flesh for all to see. Jesus, the light of the world. The light that shines in darkness. Verse 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see, that they may see the light. And so they could see the light. The question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond to the light? Well, their response was, they sought from him a sign from heaven. Now, when we go to verse 34, this is another type of light that is within the body of people, of us, of persons. And it says in verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. And so there's this full of light and there's this full of darkness depending upon the lamp of your body. You have to receive the light. And if you receive the light, the eye is good. And your whole body can be, your whole body is full of light. But if you reject the light, your eye is bad and the body is full of darkness. That light being what's in verse 33, Jesus himself. Verse 35, here's the warning to the people, to the crowd, to us today, out of Jesus's love and compassion for the people. Even though he said this is an evil generation, he's warning the people. He is casting out the lifeline, as it were. And he says in verse 35, as a warning, take heed, be careful. You're on dangerous territory. Your eye is becoming dark. If you reject me, I'm the light. You want something else? Because that's what they wanted. They wanted something else. From him, they sought from him a sign. And verse 35 says, take heed. He's warning the crowd, that same group that he said is an evil generation, out of his love for them. He says, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And so upon the receiving of the truth or the rejection of the truth, what do you say about Jesus? Do you receive him as the light of the world? Do you receive him or reject him? Do you receive him as the sign that the Savior has come, or do you reject him? And if you reject him, then the whole body becomes full of darkness. That life becomes full of darkness and ultimately will end up in eternal darkness. But if the light of Jesus is received, then we keep on walking in the light. That's what we're doing. We're walking in the light. And day by day, as we grow in Jesus, the light becomes even more manifested in our hearts. Now, verse 29, Jesus says, "This is an evil generation." He said evil. Now let's think about what is it that Jesus had already done. Many, many things. He himself is the sign, but Jesus had performed many miracles of healings. And we're not going to even try to name all of his miracles, but we know he had healed many sick people. He had healed many lepers. We know he had opened the eyes of the blind. All of those were signs that he had already done. And they said, "Show us something else." Jesus had performed miracles of supply. He fed the multitudes, 5,000 men, plus the women and the children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Don't tell me that's not a sign. That was a sign that Jesus could feed tens of thousands, 10, 15,000 of people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And they said, "Show us something else." Jesus had performed miracles of deliverance, casting out legions of demons from a man. Casting out one demon from the man in verse 14. He had cast out demons out of a woman, also out of a man. Out of many, Jesus had cast out demons. And they said, "Show us something else." Jesus had raised the dead. He stopped a funeral procession. Do y'all remember we were studying Luke and the crowd? There was a processional going out. And the woman from Nain, and the son was in the bier. He was dead in the coffin, we would say. And Jesus stopped that funeral procession, raised that young man from the dead, and gave him back to his mother. And the crowd says, "Show us something else." And Jesus, his words, never a man spoke like Jesus. Nobody spoke like Jesus. Even when he was a child at 12 years old, he was stumping all the ones about him. Jesus, never anyone spoke like him. And they said, "Show us something else." And you can see why Jesus would say, "This is an evil generation." Jesus, a revealer of the thoughts of man and the heart of man. Because right here in verse 17, Luke chapter 11, verse 16 says, "Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them," that's a sign right there. He knew exactly what they were thinking. They didn't tell him, but he knew it. And he exposed their hearts. That was a sign. I don't know what any of you all are thinking, and you don't know what I'm thinking. I hope we're thinking about Jesus right now in class, but you get what I'm trying to say. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts and the intents of the heart. And they said, "Show us something else." Now, in other words, when they say, "Show us something else," those are my words. But verse 16 says, they sought from him a sign. A sign that is, dazzle me, show me something else, entertain me, do something from heaven. Because they said they sought from him, verse 16, they sought from him a sign from heaven. Well, he himself had come down from heaven. He was the living manna. The manna in Moses' day was just a type. He was the living bread that had come from heaven. He himself was the sign. But they said, show us something from heaven. In other words, turn the moon green or make the stars start dancing around. But show us something spectacular. Dazzle us. And what are they doing? They are rejecting Jesus, rejecting his miracles, rejecting his words, and rejecting him. Let's turn to John chapter 5, because there were many witnesses that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But let's go to John chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, going over to John chapter 5. And I'm trying to get there. John chapter 5 in verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30. Now, before we read that, let me say this. Jesus said, this is an evil generation. And we know we are in the chapter of spiritual warfare. The enemy is behind this. The devil is behind this. He's seeking to turn the crowd because we're on our way to Calvary. So he's seeking to turn the crowd. That's happening. But when they say we want to see something else, that is just like what the devil did in Luke chapter 4. You all remember how Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness. He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says afterwards he was hungry. But then the devil comes with the first temptation. And he says, if you are the Son of God, do something. If you are the Son of God, show it. If you are the Son of God, show a sign. Turn these stones into bread. And that's what the devil was saying. Show me. If you're the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. And so when the people were saying, seeking a sign, that's exactly one of the tools and one of the methods that the devil had used. Show me something else. And we know the devil knew exactly who Jesus was. John chapter 5. Now, John chapter 5, Jesus is going to say the many people, the many witnesses that he was the Christ. John chapter 5, verse 30. I can, Jesus is talking about himself. I can of myself do nothing. That's Jesus humbling himself. He had humbled himself. And he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me. Now, Jesus is going to call the roll of those who bear witness that he is the Christ. Verse 32, there is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and John bore witness, that's John the Baptist, John bore witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He, John the Baptist, was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Let me stop right there. Remember when John the Baptist came on the scene preaching repentance, and the crowds came and they repented and they got baptized. The same crowds of people who came to John the Baptist and repented of their sins and were baptized, those people are still around. That's that evil generation. It says in verse 35, you were willing, those crowds of people, you were willing for a time to rejoice in John the Baptist's light. And then we'll see what happened in the end. John the Baptist is beheaded and rejected. Verse 36, Jesus goes on and he says, I have a greater witness than John. John the Baptist testified that Jesus is the Lamb of God. But John the Baptist also said later on, are you the Lamb of God? So Jesus says in verse 36, I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus walked on water. Jesus said to the storm, peace be still. All of those works were testifying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, his works. Then verse 37 says, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. Remember when the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 37, and the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. And then the passage goes on. And I would ask you to read the rest of chapter 5, because it's going to go on talking about the scriptures. And that's what verse 39 says. The scripture testified that he was the Christ. Let's go back to Luke chapter 11. But when you have time, read John chapter 5. So in Luke chapter 11, after all of this, the crowd says, the people say, the Pharisees say, in Luke chapter 11, verse 16, they sought from him, do something else. Show us something else. Dazzle our eyes. Entertain us. Do what we want you to do. And that's trying to manipulate Jesus. And Jesus will not be manipulated by anyone. He will not be manipulated by me or you or anyone else. He is God. He is Christ. He tells us what to do. We don't tell him what to do. And so they sought from him this sign from heaven. Verse 29, Luke chapter 11. This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign. And no sign will be given to it. Now, Jesus had already done many, many signs. But he's letting them know, I'm not going to, just because you say, show me something from heaven. I didn't come to do what you asked me to do. I come to do the will of the Father. What the Father would have me to do is what he did and does. Verse 29, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah, the prophet. Now here comes a new character here, Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. Now notice the words, this generation. In verse 29, it says, Jesus says, this is an evil generation. His contemporaries, the people who were living at the same time as he when he was on this earth. And so verse 29 says, this is an evil generation. You go down to verse 30, and each of these verses is going to say this generation. Verse 30 says, Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites. So also the Son of Man will be to this generation. So there it is. Jesus himself is the sign to this generation. Then we go to verse 31. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation. There it is right there. This generation. Verse 32. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation. And so this generation, the people that were there, they saw Jesus. You all know we've never seen Jesus. not with our physical eyes. We didn't see any of those miracles, but we believe. And they saw firsthand, hot off the press. They didn't have to read it in Luke. Luke book wasn't even around back then. And here we are. We simply believe it by faith. We believe by faith in the word of God. And they had Jesus himself in the flesh. They saw him. They heard him. He healed their cousin. He healed my mother. He healed my dad. He raised my son from the dead. There were many witnesses. And they say, show us something else. And that's why Jesus could say, this is an evil generation. Now there's going to be some contrast in these verses. On one hand, there's this generation. But on the other hand, here come some other crowds from other generations. First of all, in verse 29, Jesus says, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So was Jonah around when Jesus was around? We know the answer. The answer is no. Jonah lived thousands of years before Jesus was on this earth. So Jesus reaches back into the Old Testament and talks about Jonah, the prophet. Now he's going to contrast the people of that generation with the people of his generation. It's a contrast. Verse 30, as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, that's a crowd of people. So we have the Jesus's contemporaries, but now we have the Ninevites, people that lived before Jesus was on this earth, people that heard Jonah. They didn't hear Jesus firsthand, but they heard Jonah. Verse 30, as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. So we have Jesus's contemporaries, and then on the other side of our column, you would put the Ninevites, the people of an Old Testament generation, the Ninevites. On one hand, you have Jesus, but then you have Jonah, Jonah being a type of Jesus, because it says, as Jonah, and whenever you see in the Bible, as Jonah, that's like that's like an equal sign. Just like Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, equal sign, so also Jesus was a sign to this generation. Then we skip down to verse 32. And verse 32, the men of Nineveh, that Old Testament group, the men of Nineveh, they will rise up in the judgment with this generation. Do you all see that? The Old Testament group of Ninevites, and we're going to turn to Jonah in a minute. The Old Testament crowd of the Ninevites, they will rise up in the judgment. Now, Jesus, there's a lot. God's word is so alive and living. I was praying this morning. I said, God's word has a heartbeat. It is the living word of God. Can never, ever be exhausted. Jesus is so much about the word of the Lord, more than I can say, more than I know, but it pulsates with life. And Jesus, when he went back in verse 29, and he talked about Jonah, said, Jonah the prophet. Now we know Jonah. We've heard about Jonah. Jonah was an unwilling prophet. Jonah didn't even like the people of Nineveh. Jonah, he didn't even want to preach to them, but they repented. When Jonah did finally get there after being in the belly of the whale, when he did finally get to them people he didn't like and gave the word of the Lord to a people he didn't want to go to, they repented. Verse 32, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment. Now that's resurrection in there and judgment. And Jesus says, the generation, all that group in Jonah, all that group of the Ninevites, they're going to rise up, resurrection. They're going to rise up in the judgment. And they're going to stand together, this generation, that's Jesus's crowd, his contemporaries, and the people of Nineveh are going to come together in the judgment. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation. Those two crowds are going to come together. And the men of Nineveh are going to do what? Condemn them. Condemn that generation. Why? Because the men of Nineveh, they didn't have Jesus firsthand. They didn't see Jesus' miracles and Jesus' heart of love and mercy and compassion. All they got was Jonah, who didn't even care about them, didn't even want them to be saved. And when they repented, Jonah got mad. Jonah did get mad. If you haven't read the book of Jonah lately, you need to. He was mad at God for saving those people. But verse 32 says, Luke chapter 11, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Shame on you. That's what they're going to say. They're going to condemn Jesus's contemporaries. Shame on them. And they said, the men of Nineveh in verse 32, why are they going to condemn this evil generation? Because they, the Ninevites, they repented. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. So they repented, the people of Nineveh repented after hearing the word of Jonah. They repented at hearing the word. They didn't see no miracles. They didn't see Jesus do any miracles. Jonah didn't do any miracles. All Jonah did was preach the word of God, and they repented. And so now a contrast is, show us a sign. No, we don't need signs. Jesus had given signs. He is the sign. It's believing the word of God. The word of God will stand. It does not need big productions. It does not need lights, action, and camera. The gospel itself will stand on its own. That's what Romans chapter 1 says, and 1 Corinthians lets us know. The preaching of the gospel, it has the power to save a soul. But the people say, dazzle us. Show us something with our eyes. Entertain us. And we have to be careful to know, don't appeal to the entertaining people. The word of God, the preached word of God, it will stand. It will stand all by itself. Because sometimes people say, well, we have to do something to keep the young people, and we got to do something to keep the old people. We have to do something to keep whoever. No, the word of God, it needs no help. It will stand on its own. And when we start venturing away from the preaching of the gospel, that's as if to say the word of God, the cross of Christ, is not enough. Let's keep going because time is moving. Now let's go to Jonah real quick, the book of Jonah. Now Jonah is in the Minor Prophets, and it's one of those books that sometimes you got to flip some pages, but it's Jonah. So let's go to Jonah because of time, I'm going to keep talking. So Jonah, when we look at the book of Jonah, and if you have to use your table of contents to find Jonah, use your table of contents. Okay, so Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord, Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. That's a crowd of people. That great city. And cry out against it. In other words, preach. Jonah, go to that city. Cry out against it. Preach repentance. For their wickedness has come up before me. And so God calls Jonah to go preach. But we know verse 3 says, Jonah arose to flee from Tarshish. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he didn't want to preach the word of the Lord. So then, therefore, Jonah ended up in the belly of the fish. So verse 17, let's keep going. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That reminds us of someone else, doesn't it? It reminds us of Jesus in the grave, 3 days, three nights. And so Jonah was that sign as he was in the belly of the whale, the fish, 3 days, three nights. So Jesus would be in the grave. And Jesus is letting the people know the sign that I'm going to show you is my death, my burial, my resurrection. Verse chapter 2 of Jonah, chapter 2 of Jonah. Now Jonah is in the belly of the whale, and now Jonah starts praying. And now in verse 10, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out unto dry land. Chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. There's that second chance. But don't count on the second chance. You know, people say God of the second chance, but them second chances run out. So you better come on while you can. So Jonah did get a second chance, but there is no guarantees of second chances. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Arise, I'm telling you again, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach. That's what we're supposed to do today. Preach to it the message that I tell you. In the New Testament, we're supposed to preach the gospel. If you don't get nothing else said, make sure you preach the cross of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's the power unto salvation. Verse 2, Jonah chapter 3. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. And keep in mind, they were a wicked people. So verse 3. So Jonah arose. He finally gets there. He arose, went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. You know, time Jonah hit that city, on the first day, he started preaching because he didn't want to go back to that belly of a whale. So the first day, first step, time he hit Nineveh, he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. He preached judgment. So the people of Nineveh, they did what? They believed God. They believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth. The word got to the king. That's in verse 6. The king laid aside his robe, put on sackcloth, and then the whole city ended up mourning and repenting before God. Verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so the point is, the people of Nineveh, they heard the word of Jonah. Jonah, a man who did not even care for them. He didn't like them, but he preached the word, and they repented. Back to Luke. The people in Luke's day, that generation, they saw Jesus firsthand, heard his word. We have 2 minutes. Heard his word, saw his miracles, and said, show us something else. No wonder Jesus said, this is an evil generation. No wonder Jesus said, be careful, you're on dangerous territory. If you reject me as the light, your whole body will be full of darkness. In our closing minute, verse 31, the queen of the south, the queen of Sheba, the queen of the south, she gonna rise up too in the judgment with the men of this generation. I'm in Luke 9:31, and she's gonna condemn it too. Why? Because she came. She came from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon. To hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And we say amen to the word of God. Amen. And so we want to say, we believe, Lord God, we believe the word of the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Jesus, the light of the world. And we pray, Lord Jesus, may we walk in the light as you are in the light, that we may have fellowship with you and fellowship one with another. Keep us in your care and help us to receive the word of the Lord. Hear your word and keep it, that we might be blessed. Be with us this week. Keep us in your care till we meet again. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
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 Next week, Lord willing, we're moving on to verse 37.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And you all make sure you read about the Queen of Sheba. She's in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. That's
Amen.
One place.
Thank you for the message.
2 Chronicles 9. God bless you.
Beautiful lesson. Thank you.
Praise
Bye-bye.
The Lord.
Thank you, Miss Selma.
Thank you, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Amen.
In the light. Don't be trying to
right.
the sun.
In the light. Amen. Thank
have
you.
Have a blessed
Thank
week, everybody.
You as well.
You have a blessed
be
week.
Be blessed yes, also. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So glad to see you all. You make my day and my week. Any new people with us, come back. You'll still be in the Word. My question was going to be, who's going to rise up this punishment with us? What you
see
call?
You, Velma.
God bless you.
I love you, babe.
Love you, too. I guess I'll be babe.
That was a great
you
teaching.
Babe.
Praise
you
the Lord.
You a babe.
A powerful
that was,
word.
That was a great
Faith
teaching.
In Christ. Thank you, whoever's saying that.
That's
the glory.
And Christian.
It's a lot in this passage.
It's a lot. Yeah, that was the
Resurrection,
lot.
Resurrection, judgment, prophets, Jonah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you teach it. Praise God.
Praise God. That's right. God
All
bless
right.
everyone.
Okay.
Hope you have a beautiful week in Jesus.
You do the same.
Trust in him at all times.
It's good seeing everybody.
Good seeing everybody.
Yes, that we can see.
I see you all clicking off. There's Sean. There's Joe. There's Ann. And I see a bunch of names. Y'all just can't say bye.
Yeah, we want to hang on.
We want to hang on. They shall go out with joy.
Yes.
Amen. That and be led forth with peace.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you.
The meeting.
All right. Thank you again.
Thank
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.